everybody. Welcome to another episode of Broken English. I am your host, Andrew Mahar. In this episode, I sit down with Ramiro Lynch. He is a gentleman from Argentina who moved here back in 2001. We talk a little bit about his parents being political activists in Argentina and what that was like to grow up in that household, along with moving here for a job and being stranded out in the Chicago suburbs and what that was all about. I was really glad to sit down with him. This was a great interview. I learned a lot about Argentina, and I think you'll really enjoy it. Also, if you or someone you know is an immigrant and would like their story told in the Chicago area, I am a mobile podcast, so I can come to anyone, or you can come to me. We can record it anywhere you feel most comfortable. Please get in contact with me through brokenenglishpodcast@gmail.com or through the contact page on the website, brokenenglishpodcast.com. Thank you once again for listening. I really, really appreciate it, and so do my guests. I hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks. Hi, we're back for another interview of Broken English with Ramiro. He is from Argentina. What year did you end up coming here to the United States?
I came in 2001.
Okay.
Yeah.
What set that off? What made you decide that?
I always wanted to come here. I remember when I was younger. I mean, I grew up with, you know, my dad playing American music and in vinyl, and like I remember like going to concerts, you know, the Ramones, and I mean, music was big, and you know, just the culture. And also I had a job at the time that allowed me the opportunity to come here on an internship in 2001.
And how old were you?
I was 25 when I came permanently to,
okay.
I mean, I came here for 3 months, and then I had to come back, and the company I worked for applied for a visa on my behalf.
So, wow.
Yeah, so I was studying to be a lawyer back then. I was gonna, that was the thing I was gonna do.
In the US or in Argentina?
In Argentina.
And is that similar to like the practices here? Like, is it like the same, like schooling and testing and all that?
No, it's you graduate from high school, and then you basically have to make a decision on what type of profession you want to, you know, have in the future. So initially I thought about communications because that's something that I was more passionate about, but you know, my kind of a combination of my mother and just reality, you know, led me to change my major to law.
Gotcha.
And I was kind of very passionate about being a lawyer back then. I was like, I would buy like law books.
Wow.
That I didn't have to, but you know, these kind of publications that are more for like professionals. But I was just, you know, a 19-year-old like student, but I would get, you know, these like large books.
Gotcha. You're just that interested in it.
Yeah, I was. I mean, it was pretty interesting.
So what was it as a child? I mean, you said you grew up listening to American music and Ramones and stuff.
Yeah.
Growing up in Argentina, I don't personally know much about it. What was it like?
Wow. One of the things that, you know, I always think about the differences between American culture and Argentinian culture, and we are more social in Argentina, and you know, that kind of influenced my whole childhood, being, you know, with friends. I always had friends, and my high school friends are still my friends like right now. I'm still in contact with people that I grew up with.
Really?
Yeah. And we are on WhatsApp, you know, the app on the phone.
Yeah,
we have a group on WhatsApp we are like messing with each other, you know, about stuff that happened 25 years ago. Like, it's crazy, but, you know, great. Yeah, and another thing that I was thinking about in terms of, you know, what it was like, the country is a very, in terms of the, politics,
mm-hmm.
very effervescent, I think is the word. You know, like stuff is happening all the time, and it's in the front of everyone's, you know, like radar, everything that is happening in terms of, you know, politics. So, and my mom was involved in politics also.
How so?
She was in the very staunch Peronist. I don't know if you know, Perón was a huge political figure in Argentina in the 50s through the 70s.
Okay.
Juan Perón was this guy was kind of I want to try to make a comparison, but very influenced by fascists of the time, like Mussolini in Italy.
Wow.
They were like very pro unions. Mm-hmm. And very social welfare type of state. And my mom and my dad were involved in politics, which, if you were in the wrong party, you could get in trouble. And my mom I always remember this about my mom, that, you know, they were persecuted if the wrong, you know, political party was in power. You know, well, we had, you know, military governments that were run by the
military.
Yeah, by the military. That they overthrew, you know, the Peronist party, and you know, my mom was kind of, I think they tortured her. I don't know why I have trouble with that reality that they burned cigarettes on my mom's like breasts. You know, my mom was tortured, and many people were
for liking that guy.
Yeah, for being a Peronist supporter. I mean, she was involved. And when I was growing up, I would go to, you know, meetings of, you know, the Peronist party meetings. And
really, like, yeah, like, or, like, organized, yeah, this is meetings.
My, yeah, organized meetings. I was like a child and playing with other children, you know, of parents that were involved in politics in Argentina.
And where were these meetings? Were they like out in the open? Were you guys like kind of hiding, or was it
in like storefront? What are they called? It's like actual locations, you know. Yeah, I remember. I have like memories of my dad getting in like almost like fist fights about, you know, politics. And I mean, that's huge, you know, growing up in Argentina, being depending on what party you like. There are two major political kind of, not parties. Well, the Peronist party is kind of the one that has been in power for maybe 40 years on and off.
Mm. So it's like, so they have two different parties similar to like us, a little more extreme, you'd say?
In Argentina, yeah, because one is more for the, kind of for the people, and the other one is more like business oriented.
Gotcha.
And my parents were more for the one for the people, you know.
Sure, sure.
And the other one is more about freedoms and economic freedoms. The other party.
Gotcha.
So it is a little bit like the U.S.
The conservatives and the liberals.
Yeah, and many people are making the parallel. Like the comparison between Trump and Juan Perón, that big figure that I talked to you about, they are very, in the way that this guy is very kind of strong, it's a strong arm, you know.
Yeah.
It's very like a Latin American kind of dictator, the way he handles himself.
Yeah, and that was brought up during the election too, yeah. Man, so what did your parents do that led them to kind of go down that path? What did they do for work?
My mom was studying to be biology, I think she was studying. And I don't remember what her plans were. But the university was not, because they thought that they were changing the world. They actually thought that what they were doing was really important.
Right. Yeah, everyone and, does.
Yeah. So, and my dad also. They were like a couple, but a couple that were like very, very involved politically. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
And so we're in Argentina now. We're, were you in a city? Were you in a small town?
A city, you can say, like, in terms of the comparison between the U.S. and Argentina. Yeah, mm-hmm. It's city, definitely urban.
Gotcha. Urban, yeah. Smaller than Chicago, though?
Buenos Aires is, like, almost about the same size.
Okay.
In terms of population, the numbers.
Gotcha.
Like, probably more than 10 million people.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. And is that on, like, the northern part of the country, southern part of the country?
Northern.
Gotcha. Northern
part, yeah.
Man, so your parents were very political.
Very,
it sounds.
Very, very, and they are still very very political. My mom, her 99% of her Facebook posts are about politics, and she's an older woman.
Yeah,
well, that's how she uses Facebook. You
know? Change of the world, still doing.
She's still doing it. She's still doing that.
You can't give up, I guess. At that point. I mean, you put that much time into your life. I wouldn't imagine turning back now.
Yeah,
the
it's
point.
The investment of time, you know.
Yeah, she's seen the worst. You know? There's no way. Yeah, that's so. Why not, man? Yeah. How old were you when the military took over Argentina?
When I was born in 1974, this guy that I was telling you about, Juan Perón, passed away.
Okay.
And then there was a military-led government in the 80s. I was really young, and I was young to remember the times where there was a like lack of freedoms. Like I grew up with it in a democracy.
Gotcha.
Like all of my life, I lived in the democratic type of government. But before me, you know, my mom and my dad, they went through like periods of where you couldn't go out at night, you know, there were curfews. Wow. And yeah.
Wow, actually, like enforced.
Yeah, enforced. And that's the other thing is, you know, the 30,000 people that they say that the military governments disappeared, you know, because they were communists or you know,
yeah,
more socialists. They were these were the military governments were governments of the like extreme right in Argentina.
Gotcha.
And they pretty much what's the word, they disappeared people. They were like you would, if you were young at the time, I wasn't born in that, but my mom, her friends, you would be walking on the street and they would like put you in a car and nobody would hear from you again ever. And they say that 30,000 people disappeared. That number is debated. People say that it's less than that.
If it was only 20,000,
I know.
Renee, like that's still. If they did it to one person, that is terrible.
Yeah.
Like to let alone to, and to be honest, they don't tell. Like I didn't know that this happened in school. Like they don't. None of other parts of the world are being like, hey, this has happened before. We should try to avoid this.
This is crazy. This is major. Like it's major, and it's a big part of Argentina's history and present.
Yeah.
The fact that there were governments in Argentina that disappeared people, that they like killed. What would they do? I think they say that they killed them and they threw them in the river. Like, yeah, that's what they would do. If you were not, if you were, what's the word that they would say? But basically socialists.
Yeah.
Or
if you're fighting for equality, you
people like my mom,
man.
People like my mom or my dad,
yeah,
they heard boots walking on the roof. They actually, my mom tells me that I was a baby and they would hear like, because those boots were looking for people, you know, the footsteps you would hear on the roof were actually, you know, members of the government looking for people to like, because they would. they were trying to like curtail, you know, public freedom of speech.
Yeah.
They, you know, if you were saying the wrong thing or you were like involved politically and had some level of influence,
yeah,
and they knew your name and where you lived. Yeah, and many people exiled from Argentina in those years.
Where would they go?
I mean,
anywhere. I just couldn't be in Argentina like that.
No, you had to go to places like Venezuela. Some people went to Venezuela because Venezuela didn't used to be socialist in the past.
Oh yeah.
Some people came here to the States. I know of a friend that his parents moved here because of that, because they were like, I think they were beat up or something, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I left the Argentina not more like for opportunity, but many people like 10 years before me or 20 years, they left Argentina because they were afraid of, you know, for their lives.
Yeah, they had to.
They could die.
Wow.
Yeah. So it's an interesting country because it's a beautiful country, but also like has very dark history, like very recent history.
Yeah, that's modern day. Yeah, that's like that's incredible.
Yeah.
Man. So.
Yeah.
And at this point, so you get up to, you're in school, you're learning, this is kind of happening.
Yeah.
You're hearing about this, what it used to be like. And then, so you're pushed to be a lawyer. Now your parents were active. Were you like on the, you're on the defense side? You like wanted to help people? Or were you like,
My whole passion with the law was, first my mom would like instill this socially, you know, social more minded concepts, and I remember my mom, you know, giving me some like advice on like school projects on how to, you know, write some certain things from a political standpoint, you know, what that meant to the country. And but my I wanted to be a lawyer because like I was very bought into this concept of being a kind of a tool for justice. Like I want to be able to, like, you know, that's kind of a nice, like, if I criminal law was something that I thought was amazing, like getting into that world. And I remember one of my teachers in the university, because I went for like for a long time to law school, I was working full time and going to law school full time.
Wow.
Yeah. And one of my teachers was a criminal law professor, and he was missing part of his finger, and I thought that was amazing. I wanted to be in that world. I think this dark worlds, that stuff is real, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to like get involved in that for some reason, because criminal law is the more pure, you know, type of law that you can do.
My girlfriend's actually a working to become a public defender here. She's a lawyer as well. So doing the very similar.
Yeah.
Her path is very close to kind of what you're painting of. It is most interesting to me also.
Yeah.
We started dating when she was in law school here.
Yeah.
It is definitely more interesting. And
there
are times where, you know, and you learn so much from this, where you're like, I couldn't believe what the U.S. does as well, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it is very interesting. I totally agree with that. And she's also on the, you know, the criminal defense side, where it's
cool.
So you're in a, you know, you help a lot of times. You can have the, you know, sometimes the police don't get it right type stuff. You know, so that she's trying to help those people. You know, who got kind of messed up. But so that's it's very funny you say that. But so that's great. So what brought, so the company you're working for sent you, or like you came here and then that kind of stopped your law study?
I kind of had to go and study some more to get my bachelor's degree, because here in the US the system is different. You have to go, it's a post university, what's like postgraduate.
Yeah, like a grad
education.
School.
Yeah, it's grad school here in the States. Where in Argentina it's 6 years. It's a long time, but you just jump from high school basically to law.
Oh, it's just in Argentina. One whole, so you don't go to a general study, you go to law school.
You have 1 year of kind of general studies, and then 5 of intensive law.
Wow.
School. Yeah.
There must be some pretty intense lawyers at the end of all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to really know your stuff. Wow. Yeah. So how far were you into your school as far as that?
I was really far. Like 4 years in terms of US credits, because I transferred my credits to the US.
Mm.
And that got me, you know, education credits post high school here.
Yeah.
And then I went to the university here, to Robert Morris University, is the local. I just wanted to get my bachelor's degree, but I felt the level of education was like a lot less than what I was getting in Argentina.
Really?
So this is
like
kind of a disappointment for me.
Really?
Because I was studying really interesting stuff in Argentina, and here I was studying I graduated here with a 4.0, but I didn't even have to like study too much, because it's just that here the kind of a bachelor's degree, I think the intensity of the education is not as hard as in Argentina at that level.
Yeah.
I think I would have to go to law school here to get that type of education.
Law school here is pretty intense.
Yeah, it is.
From what I picked up on, yeah.
And I did take the LSAT, and I applied to law schools here. Mm-hmm. And I got into law schools, but I decided not to go because it was so expensive.
It really is. You gotta hope expensive. That you get a decent job afterwards.
Yeah.
The grants and all that. It's such
it didn't
a process.
Make sense to me. It didn't make sense because I was already 31 years old when I went through that.
Gotcha.
And
so how much is school in Argentina?
How much?
Yeah.
Zero dollars.
Okay, that's just I to laugh because it's not,
$0.
Not even a real thing here. Okay,
you don't get to pay.
So
you know, I mean, minimal. It's the price of the books and the price of you getting to. There is a price.
Sure, but just not $150,000.
No, and it's actually zero as far as paying to the school.
Mm.
You don't pay money to the school.
Gotcha.
If you use the public education, which is actually better than the private education in Argentina.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay.
It's interesting because the whole culture is like private is almost like you're paying for your degree,
mm-hmm.
which is makes it less valuable. That's the culture down there. That because you're paying for it, they are more inclined to like give you better grades because it's in their best interest to keep you as a client customer almost.
Oh,
you know? That's
wow.
how education is perceived
gotcha.
In Argentina, I think.
Wow. So at the end of that's the whole 6 years is free except for like, you know, rent and books and getting to school and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's
it's
awesome.
Free and it's actually an awesome education. It's actually really good.
So are the taxes like higher to kind of cover everyone's education expenses?
They are. And you pay 21% of value added tax. It's a consumer tax.
Okay.
That it does affect the price of whatever you have to buy. That's the thing, you know. Like more everyone pays for that for the social services.
Gotcha.
But you can get hurt in Argentina and you can go to a public hospital and you get really really good professionals and they like my best friend is an Argentinian surgeon in Argentina and yeah he works for the public services.
Wow.
being a surgeon. But I know him, and I know that he is probably really, really good at what he does because he was always into like
being a good mentality.
He's an overachiever, you know.
Well, yes. I hope surgeons are.
You would have to, right?
Is an overachiever, absolutely.
You want an overachiever guy.
I want some slack. Yeah.
You don't want a slap.
So that's awesome. So the public services, so it's really more of a, it is still kind of like a more social more social culture down it there is. As far as like...
But, it is more socially minded.
But so everyone is everyone kind of going to college, or do some people not go?
No, that's the reality, that many people can't go because you still need money for books, and those books are expensive, and, you know, there is a lot of poor people in Argentina. Mm. There is, they say that it's like 30% of people are poor, in, and I think the threshold for poverty is pretty low, so,
yeah,
you know, for the amount of income you have to make. But basically, a lot of people are basically out of the system because they don't have money to... You have to be kind of middle class or lower middle class to actually make it to the university.
Ah, okay.
I was growing up more like a lower middle class, mm-hmm. from a working class town. Yeah. But I was going to make it. I was going to make it as a lawyer.
Yeah.
I just decided that, I mean, this life was more interesting being in another country. That I wanted, you know, the experience of being another person. How would it feel to, like, change?
Yeah.
Like, if you change your environment 100%, what type of person can you become? You're going to change.
So what did that mean for you? So when you came here, how did America fit when you got here? Yeah. What was that first few weeks like? Where you were just...
Oh, man. I remember making so many mistakes when I came here.
And now when you came here, did you come straight to Chicago?
Yeah. And I realized really soon that... And I was married. I also married young. I married at 21 in Argentina.
Ah, okay.
So I came by myself for 3 months, by myself here, and I was very homesick. And my company put me in a very depressing hotel.
Really?
It's not a hotel. It's called extended stay. One of these extended stay places?
Yeah, well, it has like kind of like a small kitchen and like a small, it's like a really crappy apartment.
In Elmhurst, Illinois. All right. So a guy from a 10 million... urban place of 10 million that was studying like to be a lawyer, and you put me in Elmhurst, Illinois. If you're from Argentina and you've never been here, you're like, oh, look, Elmhurst, Illinois. You think it's like, I don't know, like fancy, but you go and they put you in a place that, I don't know how to describe extended stay in Elmhurst, Illinois to someone that is from Argentina, but you... It's like a sterilized place that nobody, I mean, people there don't care about anything. And they, I don't know. I remember asking, can I walk at night around here? Because I was worried, you know, if it was safe. I think she told me that you couldn't walk around. But looking back, I think that was the wrong answer, because I don't think anyone would try to mug me in Elmhurst, Illinois.
Yes. No, I mean, maybe here, maybe like in parts of Chicago.
Yeah,
maybe
no, that's crazy. People give you shitty advice all the time when you come. Because you don't know who you're asking either. I mean, you know.
They could be an idiot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They could be 100% an idiot. And you're like buying it because they should know more than you, right? Like,
right. And you have to trust somebody. You have to eventually trust them.
Yeah, man. It's... Yeah, I don't know if I would recommend to anyone like moving to another country like that. I mean, I am glad now,
mm-hmm.
but, you know, I went through a lot of shit when I came here.
Really? What was, so when you got, so, all right, so the first 3 months were mm-hmm. awful, right? So you were in Elmhurst, you're not having fun.
I was kind of like, well, but hopeful, you know, I was 25 years old.
Yeah.
Married. I still had a lot of energy and a lot of like, okay, I'm going to make it in the United States. I had a contract. I mean, the money they were paying me was not great, but I still was protected by a contract when I came here, you know.
Gotcha.
For I'm not going to die, you know, I'm going to be okay. It's just an experience, you know, in another country. So
what made you after that? So when you went back to Argentina, right? How long did you go back for?
I came for 3 months. And then I went back for maybe 6 months.
Mm.
Yeah.
Then they said you're going back to the United States, or you...
I mean,
asked...
I I mean, they offered me a job. That's the thing. They offered me a job. They said, hey, my boss, the guy that oversaw my internship, was like, we like you. And he kind of tried to seduce me in a way, you know, like, and I said, I went back and I talked to my, you know, then wife, and we decided to move because, I mean, yeah, why not? I mean, someone makes you an offer to go to another country and, yeah.
Yeah.
And they pay you money for it.
So
it wasn't great, but.
Was the company still in Chicago or was it in Elmhurst?
They were located in Bensonville.
Oh, man. For anyone listening to this show who does not know much about the suburbs of Chicago, Elmhurst is very boring and Bensonville is also very boring.
Yeah, I mean. Oh my gosh, I don't know how to these are the towns that you see, they are like economically not in great shape.
Stagnant. People just live there. I think they work everywhere else. They just physically, a lot of people just actually live there.
And the culture, I mean, I don't want to stereotype people from Bensonville.
That's fine.
But culturally, it's not the most intellectually ambitious type of environment, you know.
Gotcha.
That's
a very safe.
It's just I remember taco places and, you know, just trucks, drivers, and people like being not great socially, you know, like in terms of treatment to others, and, you know, like kind of mean a little bit, like lives that don't go anywhere, and. You know, country music, stuff like that.
There is a stereotype for those types of towns. Yes.
Oh my god.
So you came here, you decided to move. Now, did you move into Chicago or did you move to Bensonville?
Oh, okay. So I had this guy at work that kind of became a little bit of my, advisor in a way.
Mm.
And he told me, go and, you know, this place is great. Wheaton.
Wheaton?
Yeah.
also, for people that don't know, Wheaton is exactly the same as Bensonville. It's the exact same town, just like, I think, a little further south.
I mean, they are really nice places. They are really nice, like, in terms of...
It's just not exciting.
Not exciting.
That's all.
Right.
It's just kind of boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're fine.
They're great.
It's not super special. Like, there's nothing about those towns that are like, you need to go because they have the best something.
Right. It's like American, you know, middle America town.
Yeah.
That has a high school and church and...
That's it?
Yeah. That's it, right? Walmart, did I describe everything? Walmart?
So did you live in Wheaton?
I lived in Wheaton for like 10 years because I was married and we were planning on at one point we were planning on having babies and buying a house, all that shit, you know what we do?
Yeah, life.
I mean, grown-ups. But life kind of got in the way because my wife and I couldn't have babies.
Mm.
We went through a couple of fertility treatments and my wife lost a baby 5 weeks into the pregnancy.
Oh no.
And I remember, and then after that, kind of, we were already like not very happy in terms of where our lives were, you know, the type of lifestyle we were leading. She wanted to be a psychologist. You know, we were like, that's kind of part of our identities were like, I was going to be a lawyer and she was going to be a psychologist in Argentina. And then we moved here and then, you know, the problem was like, well, what are our identities here? You know, like, you know, you want to be successful at something, you know, like it's not just about like being able to pay the bills and, you know, stuff like that. We were like more ambitious in terms of, who we wanted to be, you know, like, more in terms of, like, our identities, I guess you can say. So eventually she decided to move back to Argentina in 2010, and I was kind of like, you know, part of me was like, okay, well, we're moving, you know, we're moving somewhere, because then it's gonna be me and I have to figure out myself here in the United States.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so that was 7 years ago.
Gotcha.
When that happened, when she moved back.
And you, so you guys split.
Yeah.
Were you technically married at the time, or did you guys
split? I was married. I got married through, you know, civil, through the courts and church in Argentina.
Gotcha.
Catholic church. So, yeah. I'm not available for any woman that wants to marry me, that wants to get married through the church now.
Well, never mind. It's a technicality.
Never mind. It's a technicality.
You're not
allowed. But you, because you can't get married twice. You can't. You know that, right?
No, I didn't know that.
I mean, the Catholic Church doesn't allow it. Right, anyway,
that's just I don't know. I don't know all the rules. Yeah,
but I'm not Catholic. I'm more like a, I don't believe in God. I just went through the steps.
Gotcha. Yeah, you just had, because you want to be married. You just went to, exactly. Yeah. So you have to.
Yeah.
So now you're here separated in the U.S. and she lives in Argentina.
I am divorced legally. She lives in Argentina. I don't keep touch with her. We don't. And I am here in the States, kind of. Yeah, I am single.
Just living it up, huh?
I was in a couple of relationships with American women, so that's kind of interesting. That, you know, as an older guy, you know, dating and being Argentinian, but it's not bad. I can't say it's bad. It's fine.
It's fine. When you came here, did you speak English?
I started studying English when I was 21 years old. So I, in Argentina, I studied French.
Really?
That was my high school language. You know, the requisite was French for me.
Gotcha. Okay.
So, and my company used to give us English classes. So those were really good classes with some natives and, good teachers.
Was that like during the day or at nighttime? Or like, when did they squeeze in these English classes during your work?
Oh, those were during work hours, actually.
Really? That's awesome.
Yeah.
You got paid to learn English?
Yeah.
That's a pretty good situation.
No, man. Yeah. They have their that stuff they do well in Argentina.
Gotcha.
People, yeah. Companies do that. They teach, you know, they offer language classes and stuff.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah.
So now you're here. And how old are you now?
I'm 42.
42.
Yeah.
What is your, and you do stand, and you do stand up comedy. Yeah. When did you start doing stand up?
I started actually when I was 38 years old. I should go back a little bit, because I always enjoyed public speaking. Public in terms of more in the beginning, I viewed it more professionally. I used to go to Toastmasters. I don't know if you know what that is. And I kind of went through the ranks a little bit, got like some certifications that they have. But I was more interested from an artistic standpoint. So I went to Second City and took classes there, improv.
Mm.
And then I got bit by the improv bug. And then I went to IO and Annoyance, all of these.
All the theaters and stuff.
I pretty much did all of them. And I got into a playground theater team. That was kind of a huge, you know, quote-unquote thing for me.
Yeah, no, that's a lot of fun. Yeah. You can get into like a fun group of improv people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was an amazing kind of window into a kind of American life, you know, improv.
Yeah, because now you were living out in Wheaton at the time.
Yeah.
And now you're coming into the city for classes and stuff.
I moved to Forest Park a few years ago. But yeah, from the verbs to the city.
Gotcha.
So it's two different cultures.
And, there's kind of like the age difference. You were with a lot of younger kids in this class.
I'm a lot older. But somehow, when you don't have kids, you still think you're 20 years old. I mean, just... because I don't have any separate... It's just that more time has passed. But yeah. I am the same guy, you know?
Right.
It's just that I'm older. But nothing... No major changes were, you know, these demarcers for men are having kids it's one of the kind of men, I think that it's demarks who you are as in terms of, you know, you as a man, I think.
I feel like having kids does something to
Does something, right?
And so that could be, I mean, and really, because you have to be responsible. Whereas now without any kids, you can still like fit, like you don't have to be thinking about like, I don't have kids. I have no idea.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I'm saying these things and I don't know. Don't take my word for it. But,
well, this is... we won't take that advice.
No, don't take my advice. But I don't know. But the fact is that I only until very recently, I feel like I'm older than my 25-year-old. You know, improv... bodies.
The age finally caught up with you.
Now I think the age thing, you know, is huge because you still want to do stuff. You still want to have fun, but you look around and there's no one from your age group in those classes.
Yeah, it's all young. Yeah,
but it's fine. It's what it is. Maybe it is what it should be, you know. Maybe comedy is for young people. I don't know. I have no clue. I'm just debating it.
And I think part of it is, I feel like just young people still think that they can
make it.
Your ambition for being a lawyer...
I know I already didn't make it, you know, so I'm...
That's right. So that's what that age does, is that you've already not done things that you know what it's like.
I'm already nodding and it's
an... You're like, oh, you sweet kids, you have no idea what failure feels like. You should move to Bensonville.
But it still doesn't give me the freedom on stage, you know, that I should have, you know, for being a... failure. You know, failure gives you a freedom. Like,
it gives you something to talk about.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, it's not even so much, and it's hard, you know, like, and even here, I can see it and hear it in your voice for the people who are just...
Like, failure is a huge failure.
I don't even see it as a failure, but like, I can tell that you did, that you still wanted to be a lawyer. You know, that you still wanted, like, so you have that in you.
Yeah, that was my story. I just don't think about it, but looking back...
Yeah.
I never think about it. It's not something that is in the front of my thoughts.
And I wouldn't even call that a fail. You just divert.
But it is. I diverted.
Yeah. But, and are you happy now? Are you where you want to be?
Yeah. I'm pretty happy. What can I tell you? I mean, a 42-year-old guy that does stand-up. I mean, I am happy. I mean, I just don't get the... feedback so much. It's just my brain telling me that I'm doing well, but you know,
I
get laughs. I get laughs in stand up.
Well, that's so that definitely that makes it feel like it's worth it.
Super worth it. It's super worth it. I'm in this WhatsApp group, you know, with my high school friends, and they all have babies and stuff, and you know. I feel like, okay, this guy, you know, I don't have that life.
Yeah.
I don't have that. So, how I feel about it. Yeah. Yeah, I won't fit in with those guys. I'm going to have to, you know, look for my tribe of older people that don't have babies.
There's a lot in Chicago.
Chicago, there's a lot.
Yeah, there's a whole group of people that have not only... who have chosen to not have kids, like who haven't even just ended up in that when life just ends up that way, but it was like they specifically decided to not do it. So I think there's definitely things, and you know, there's things available, but and like Meetup and all those other groups and stuff like that.
There's a lot of people here in the States.
Yeah,
but in Argentina, it's... I think I was thinking that there's very fewer people that don't have kids as a choice, as a life choice.
Ah.
you know?
Yeah. It's just expected. Well, even here, yeah, there's an expectation for children, you know, and I'm getting that from people. It's like, when are you going to have kids? I'm like, I'm 26. I was like, I don't know. Like, I could, who knows? You know, like that whole, it hasn't even been like a big part of the future, but.
You still have some time to.
I hope so.
I mean, you're almost like 20 years younger than I am.
Yeah. Not... Yeah. So there's still, so that's that.
And level. I still could have babies.
Yeah. So coming here, you were, all right, so 2001, and now you came here after 9/11 or right before 9/11?
No, right before the year of 9/11, I came here.
So you saw it change. Like, so you saw the U.S. for a few
months. I remember exactly the day that 9/11 happened.
And what did, and so the, when the news started getting scary, right? Everything kind of changed. I was a young kid when that happened. Yeah. So, but I it remember changed. A flip of everything being like, it just became so focused around fear and things like that. So you saw that happen.
Yeah.
Was that like, were you disappointed that America turned out to be like this very scared,
man,
like group or
just
like,
being, I just remember coworkers because that's part of my daily life. Mm-hmm. And yeah, a lot of, I don't want to say racism, but, well, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I mean, mean towards people that were not, you know, American or, yeah, that's, I remember that being, yeah, and also, like, people assume because I have an Irish last name that pretty much I stole my last name. They don't believe that. You know, I should be, because I'm from Argentina, my last name should be Spanish or something.
Yeah,
I remember that.
Yeah.
I remember that, you know, my last name is Irish. So how did you get an Irish last name? You just fake your papers or something, you know? Like,
oh, yeah.
From that point of view of, oh, man,
So, and what did you, so you came up
from blue collar workers, you know, like warehouse workers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that reality is more pronounced, the kind of, you know, meanness.
There is, and I work a blue collar job.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so it's like, but there is definitely.
Maybe not here in the city, but if you work in the suburb, you know, suburb.
Well, there's an amount of it in the city. Don't worry about that. There's definitely a feeling of.
I don't want to stereotype, though.
No, and
but
it's
just my reality that.
Absolutely, and it can be. It can be a little bit more closed-minded. It's generally, and me speaking also, is like a little less educated. And you're on a certain path, and there is a certain mentality of like, of not like surviving, because it's not like prison in there, you know what I mean? But it's like you break chops,
yeah, man.
You have to, and like you, mm-hmm. you know, you make fun of people, and like, but in a closed-minded way, it definitely exists.
I can understand too. I can understand because some people lose their jobs to, you know, people that don't have papers. I don't know. I'm just, I don't have this thing figured out in my head, but I understand, you know, how people would hate, you know. I don't condone that, but I mean, some Argentinian people are, you know, racist and hateful, and I understand. I mean, fear of others,
yeah,
that's huge in Argentina too.
Really?
I mean, yeah, I mean, of other, you know, immigrants.
Yeah. Do you have more in Argentina? Are there people moving there from other countries?
They do have people from Bolivia, Paraguay, and they do stereotype, you know, those people.
Oh, yeah. So it's happening everywhere.
Yeah,
turns out that's just what humans do.
It's just hate and close-mindedness and stuff that's probably universal.
Yeah, and it's also, from my other interviews as well, it's apparently happening in Europe also. So we're not too far behind, a little bit of in Africa. It's all over the place. So the more episodes I do, I realize that people are just racist. That's just how that's just what happened. It's a terrible truth that I've had to realize.
Really?
That every
but
single...
I don't think, I mean, there has to be some positive.
Oh, there
I mean,
is. And
it's
not,
a silver
like
lining.
Most,
not,
it's not like hanging over the whole show, but like as I talk to people, they're like, yeah, there are dumb people everywhere. And then it made me feel better. Because sometimes I feel like Americans, like, really, really, like, get down on Americans for, like, being, you know, this way.
I don't want to stereotype Argentinians either, but this is very common to lash out against immigrants.
Okay.
Of. And I was going to say that, you know, also the reality is that the older people get, the more closed-minded. Because there is an evolutionary psychology reason, but I can't remember. And I don't know if I can articulate it, but you want to like be close to people that you want to, you can trust. It's a trust issue.
Gotcha. I think
the older you get and the less dynamic you are in terms of, you know, opportunities.
So people are just doing this. They can't control it. You're just
I'm just, yeah.
Yeah. People, well, that's good news. I'm glad I'm not just,
No, they are not assholes. They are not assholes. It's just that we are tribal. We are tribal.
It's true.
And it's, there is something like us versus them a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
So, speaking of us versus them, what do you think about this last election cycle here? what is the whole Trump administration based on the, and honestly, you can talk about anything at this point, but the immigration side of it was, how does that affect you? Has there been like a difference in your life, in the past 100, because now we're at the 100 day mark.
I can tell you about my life. I think I lost the friendship from high school because they were like telling me, you're going to get kicked out of the country. They were, some friend that I have was kind of giving me shit. And sometimes I have a low tolerance for people giving me shit.
That's fair.
He was like making fun of me and, you know, but that's neither here nor there. That doesn't say anything about Trump or... what do I think about immigration?
Yeah, seeing Donald Trump get elected and talking all this whole, you know, about like closing the borders and locking people in and double checking visas and doing all this stuff.
That talks to that 55-year-old guy that guy that I was telling you about, you know, that stereotypical guy that is close-minded and they think that, you know, other people are the cause, the root of their problems, you know. Yeah. Like, I can actually, I know one person that, in case this gets viral, this podcast gets viral.
Millions of listens right
but
now.
But I mean, many people are racist. I already knew it a year ago when I told my brother that Trump was going to win. I think I went a little bit out on a limb on it. But I saw that he was so charismatic. The charisma that he was like heckling and he was being a clown and...
Yeah, he's taunting people.
He was taunting people and I thought that was hard not to watch.
Oh, yeah.
In the world we live in of YouTube and social media, he was getting a lot of the headlines.
Yeah.
And I thought, this guy can win. This guy can win. You know? This clown can become the president.
Not because you wanted to become president.
No.
Because it's totally possible for humans to like this. Yeah.
It's possible because this guy is... You are gonna make your fire guy the president.
Yeah. You know? Yes. Yeah. Yeah, they really wanted him to be. Yeah.
I voted for Hillary.
Yeah.
That's my vote. I didn't want Trump to win. Because you can't have a racist president. Come on, he's freaking racist.
Not in the United States. I mean, it is tough. And like to say that a lot of them probably have. And like you said, everyone over 50 is racist.
But I always try to think, this is kind of my legal training. Mm-hmm. I always try to think from both points of, like, why?
Absolutely.
Why would people? I mean, he doesn't. Of course, he doesn't think he's racist.
He thinks he's great.
Yeah. And I'm sure that his supporters won't come out and say that they are racist. They don't think they are racist, or they don't think they are. Well, some of them own up to it.
Yeah.
Right? They are like openly
against. Yeah, and some people just voted for him because they didn't want Hillary Clinton. You know, like, it was a lot.
Yeah.
Like, and so there are people who voted and aren't as proud. I feel like the people who are proud of it, you know, are a little bit different.
And one of the things is that I am pretty mad that we Latinos in this country, we didn't vote for in more numbers to for Hillary Clinton. I think that's kind of a Latin. That's our fault.
Yeah.
That was our fault. Come on, this guy. And I have my coworker, her husband is a Mexican immigrant.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't vote. I don't think he voted for Hillary, but he didn't vote for Trump. He voted for another.
Oh, like a third party.
But it's not to pick on one specific person, but I'm thinking that many people didn't vote for Hillary because she was a woman. And I'm sure a large number of Latinos didn't go to vote or didn't vote for Hillary. And come on, this guy is telling you that.
Yeah, he's gonna build a wall.
He's gonna build a wall. You're from Mexico, whether you're legally here or illegal. I mean, illegals can't vote. People that don't have papers can't vote anyways. But I'm sure that many Mexican people that have papers don't want other people, you know, don't want other people to share on the American dream. Or, I don't know.
Just, yeah.
I'm just thinking that a lot of Latinos should have come out and vote. Sure. Just the numbers, just the sheer numbers of people that are Latinos. The numbers weren't there, I think, right? For that demographic.
It was not as high as it should have been, for sure. Yeah. And then they also kind of made up that no one, that there was like a bunch of illegals voting. And I was like, dude, how? They take your ID at the bullshit. Door. Like, yeah, how do they? I still not. We don't have to get to that discussion
illegals
today.
Voted?
But yeah. I was like, how do you get into the, I had to show my ID. Like, they had to do a whole thing. I had to register. But when you moved here, did you believe in the American dream? Are you taught that?
Yeah.
That America,
honestly,
is the place to succeed?
I did.
Yeah.
Honestly, I bought into it. I bought into it 100%.
It's a magical place that you're going to go and flourish.
I mean, I was hopeful.
Yeah.
When I was 25 years old.
Yeah.
I was hopeful that I was seeing things that were pretty cool from, you know, the whole Obama thing, you know, having a black president. I mean, yeah, there you go. Like, have a black president. World, you know?
Yeah. Like, it's,
Anything is... This is still, to me, a country where anything can happen. Even, you know, having a clown as president.
Even having Trump as president. Anything is possible.
Anything is possible. And it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
That anything is possible, unfortunately. But I don't know, man. A lot of people voted for Trump, too. So...
Yeah. It's true. There
a lot of people voted for Trump. So it's their choice. So.
And now we have to deal with it. So before we wrap up here, is there anything about being, like, when you were, is there anything about the experience of traveling to a new country, moving, that you want to share? Something that, like, we didn't get to, or something that you could warn someone about? Is there anything before, you know, the entire internet hears this?
I always tell people, don't move away from where you are. That's kind of my, because I think I did it, and I'm happy I did it. So maybe I'm being hypocritical, but I feel like, well, my conditions, I came here with a contract, kind of, it was a little bit like easy for me, but I feel like you lose a lot of shit when you move to another country. You're gonna give up on a lot of stuff, like socially, in terms of, you know, friends, family.
Mm.
Yeah, because those relationships need to be nurtured.
Sure. Yeah.
And
you can.
If you're leaving, I think I mean, you're pretty much exchanging economic opportunity for like social. You're like giving up on your social ties a little bit.
Sure. Yeah, you're so far away.
Yeah.
And at least now there's some technology that can pull you back together. But, I mean, it's been years, right?
Yeah, no.
Yeah, and I mean, that is true. So it's just kind of lonely.
Does that help?
I hope so. I hope someone who can listen to this can hear it or relate to it.
I don't know. I feel like maybe because I've been here for a long time,
mm-hmm.
maybe I am biased, but I don't... Many people that leave maybe should think about what they have rather than...
What America has.
Yeah. Mm. Maybe what they have is really valuable, you know?
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, you don't know until you're here.
Yeah.
And now you're here.
And then the thing is, it's hard to go back sometimes.
Are you still on a visa, or are you...
No, I'm a U.S. citizen
now. You're officially U.S. Mm-hmm. Right,
I could go back.
Oh, okay. Do you think you ever will?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because of that, because of the whole immigrant thing of immigrants always go back.
Mm.
Sooner or later, we always go back. You know?
Well, that's, man.
Yeah.
I
mean, you always want to go back because you don't want to die. I don't know. It's something about, you know, ending your life. You want to be with, you know, close ones and family and stuff.
Yeah. So you think down the line you'll just pick a day and you're like, I'm just going back.
I don't know. That's the thing that I have to like plan.
Yeah.
I have to plan it. I think unconsciously I am because I don't think it's a coincidence that I'm single. You know, I'm kind of making it easy.
Gotcha.
On me.
Yeah. So to kind of cut ties.
I'm trying to make it moves to, you know, make it easy to go back.
Do you think you'll go? Plus, do they have stand-up comedy in Argentina?
Yeah, and it's pretty easy to kind of... It's easier down there because...
Less competition.
There's less competition in Argentina.
Yeah, there's like 1,000 comics in Chicago. So it's very hard. It's hard. We've both been doing comedy in Chicago for 4 years. I've never met you till today.
No, man.
That's how many there are out there.
We are so many.
Yeah, I know. It's nuts. Well, I honestly, deep down, I can say I hope you do make it back in Argentina and thank become you. An Argentinian stand-up comedy god.
Older. Older guy making jokes.
That's it. Well, it's a perspective that a lot of people don't have. You know, because a lot of comics are now 25-year-old kids who don't have... I mean, you've seen some stuff. You know what I mean?
Some shit.
Exactly.
I was in Elmer, still, you know.
You've done it. You've seen it. You've lived it. And now you're here. Well, I thank you so much for doing this. Anything else you want to tell the internet?
No, thank you. Thank you for listening.
No, no problem. This was great. I really appreciate telling me a little bit more about Argentina.
Sure.
Once again, if you are listening to this episode and you have a story, an immigration story, or know someone who would like to share their story, please feel free to contact me at brokenenglishpodcast@gmail.com or on my website at brokenenglishpodcast.com, and we can sort out a time. This was recorded at my house. This wasn't weird or anything, right?
No, okay, it was awesome. Pretty cool.
Good. All right, so not strange. We're in my home. Everything's working out. And and we're really glad to be doing this. So thanks again for listening, and I hope you enjoyed the episode.